history of mankind has made medicine such a noble profession and such a noble science and art. To be a technician does not make you to be able to practice that nobility to the utmost level that is necessary in dealing with those who suffer. But the orientation of human being as an animal or an object or a machine makes it possible to become a technician. Very closely related to this, of course, is the crisis in the area of the treatment in the medical practice. Because the treatment becomes a mechanical activity. The most important, the most famous, the most acknowledged physicians are those that they are the most technically capable, that they can change hearts and kidneys and brains in future. Those are that could actually perform feats of miraculous technical competence. These are very important. They are extremely important. But they are not enough by themselves. And I would refer to this theme again in the course of this presentation. The third crisis in the medical practice that I like to mention here is the medical practice as an economic enterprise. The whole relationship between money and medicine has clouded the horizon of this noble of all professions. And this crisis manifests itself not only in the rising cost of health, not only in the manners that the doctors and the patients are relating to one another, the lawsuits that are ensuing, and the whole tremendous attempt at bringing some rational condition to this whole situation, but also it has distributed the wealth that is available to mankind in the most inhuman and unhealthy manner possible. Allow me to give you some examples. We have the largest number of deaths in the world, not as a result of disease, but as a result of malnutrition. You see, medicine and death are closely related. Okay. We have the largest number of deaths in the world, not as a result of lack of knowledge of how to prevent most of the diseases that afflict mankind, but because because the economic processes doesn't allow the use of the economic resources for prevention and education. The whole relationship between the money and medicine is in a very unspiritual and unhealthy level. Now the third crisis facing the health sciences is the crisis of medical ethics. There are several areas here. One is ethics of research. We are facing with the dilemma of the genetic jinx. What are we going to do with our genetic research? And people are asking, who is going to decide whether we could get involved in that kind of research that could, by mistake or by purpose, on purpose, cause an increase in diseases, an increase in deformities, or even worse, in decreasing the diversity of human race. After all, the most important, the most potent, the most valuable resource of humanity is the diversity of the world of humanity, and not the sameness of the people of the world. Look at this audience. If in this audience we had all the men and women exactly the same, and the most beautiful and the most intelligent and the most marvelous, but all of them exactly the same and identical and no change, this would have been the most uninspiring, unexciting, boring place to be in, because no one would have been anyone. And this whole idea of creating the super race and the superman is one of the most greatest of the ethical challenges facing humanity. Because as you know, as Baha'i, what is necessary for mankind is not the sameness, but it is unity in diversity. The second of these crises in ethics of medical research is related to the dilemma of human experimentation. You know, whenever you want to develop a new technique or a new medicine, you have to test it on people eventually. But it is one thing to test it on people when they are informed, they are aware, they have a loving relationship and trusting relationship. It is another thing to test it on people who are prisoners, people who are mentally ill, people who are crippled, people who don't have any ability to defend their own rights. And the third problem in the ethics of medical research is again the economic strings that are attached. You cannot get funding for the research if your research is not keeping with the opinions, wishes, and desires of the body that is going to fund that research. Be it a pharmaceutical company, or a behaviorist, or a person that thinks man is an animal, or a professor that thinks man is a machine, or whatever. The second crisis in medical ethics is related to ethics of the practice of medicine, the most important of which is prejudice. Physicians and all other people who are in health profession, by virtue of being human beings, they are subject to prejudice. But there is no other place in life of human experience that prejudice could be more devastating than in practice of medicine. Because you're dealing with the question of life and death, the question of pain and suffering, the question of happiness and joy, the question of the individual, the family, and the community. We have seen the effects of use of prejudice in medicine on an individual basis if we have been subject to it. If you belong to a race that you are not liked by your physician, if you happen to be a woman to go to a man that doesn't like women, or vice versa, If happen to be to go to a person who doesn't like old people, if happen to go to a person who doesn't like teenagers, because he has difficulty with his own teenagers, if prejudices of all kinds are rampant, and they always affect the judgment of the person who provides help. Another dilemma in the ethic of medical practice is the decision who is going to live, because you have many that need kidneys and you have few kidneys, many who need hearts and you have few hearts, or not enough money, or the person is not important enough, or the person doesn't have a high status, or whatever. And another of the same dilemma is who should die and how that person should be allowed to die. These are the crises facing medical practice. And these crises are closely related to the whole question of place of life and death in the medical practice. And that covers the range from abortion all the way to euthanasia. These are the crises that the medical practice, medical profession, the health profession are facing. There are another set of crises, the fourth set of crises, are related to the crisis of being a patient. One of them is that people have a no disease orientation rather than being well orientation. In other words, people simply try to live a life that doesn't give them much pain, and they don't feel all that bad. But if they are fat, and if they are smoking, and if they cannot walk fast, and if they cannot talk without going out of breath, and all of those things, it really doesn't matter. They are not ill. And then, consequently, you have a population that is simply not well. The North American population is a good example of it. Just go to one of the holy places of our cities, supermarkets, shopping centers. I have taken that from Glen Eifert, and watch people passing by, and you see that you don't see the well people. You just simply see people who don't feel they are ill. The second problem and crisis of being a patient is related to the immoderate an animal-like lifestyle. Life of people, by and large, doesn't follow the lines of moderation. And whenever we don't live a life of moderation, we engender our health as a whole. And the animal-like life simply means that people do what they do, when they do, how they do, without consideration of anything except that it feels good. Animals do the same. But human beings are not animals. The third problem related to the crisis of being a patient is our attitude toward pain and suffering. We simply are afraid to have pain, and we consider having pain as a shortcoming. Consequently, We avoid pain at all costs. We are also very self-centered. And therefore, whenever we feel pain, we feel it much more than in reality it is. You know that if you have a headache, and if you sit in a corner and say, "Oh my God, I have such a lousy headache. Oh, it hurts, it's throbbing so badly. Oh, it is the left side, now it's going to the right side. Oh, I feel it in my neck also. Isn't that awful that I have such a lousy headache? And look at that sun, it's shining in my eyes and just makes me so sick." And you just continue to do that because you're self-centered. And your headache would get worse. So, a society that tries to avoid suffering and is self-centered spends millions and billions of dollars in those remedies that take away temporarily the pain and gives an illusion of being free from suffering, while at the same time the person is poisoning himself by taking the remedy. And the final crisis that I want to mention to you as in regard to and in respect to being a patient is the crisis of seductiveness of the unusual, of the magical. After all, we are living in the age of nonsense. The most prevalent idea, the most talked about idea, the most commonly accepted idea, the ideas that would make you rich overnight, that make you to be heroes on the televisions and the radios and newspapers and movie scenes, are the ideas that are far out, that they don't make sense, that they follow the laws of nonsense. This is indeed the age of nonsense that applies to all aspects of our life, including our health. And nonsense, my dear friend, is very seductive. And we become immediately and completely seduced by it, unless we safeguard ourselves against it. Now, the fifth crisis that the health sciences is facing in our time is the crisis of patient-doctor relationship. The trust, the confidence, the hope that the patients used to have towards their physicians is disappearing fast. After all, it is very difficult to relate to technicians with those sentiments. The spirit of service, the idealism, the optimism that characterized the physician of the past is disappearing fast also. And consequently, we see in front of us the profile of materialistic man, the materialistic physician, and the materialistic patient, both devoid of ideals of the spiritual identity of man, relating to one another as robots who have also emotions. This is a major crisis, and it manifests itself in all areas of our relationship with the people who are supposed to take care of us at the time of illness. And finally, I want to mention the crisis of medical